Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Relationship Wednesday. It is already the 6th of September. The weather's better here, high humidity. We still have a lot of prayers to do and say and hope for the hurricane victims, because we are going to have more with the hurricanes that are coming. It seems to be one of those years that it just won't let up. So we need to keep our prayers high. If you know anybody in those areas, call them, see if they need anything. It's just been crazy. I know my son, this year when he plays baseball, he plays on the East Coast, and he realized, Mom, I know a lot of people in Puerto Rico. I know a lot of people in Florida. I know a lot of people in Texas. And he's been calling and making sure everybody's okay, and just seeing where they're at. And, you know, sometimes it's just the difference of being in a city, one city over. And it's such an amazing time and such a huge gathering of us helping each other. So it's, you know, keep these people in mind. It's not easy. Like I told my son yesterday, you know, we're sitting and we are at home and we don't have a threat that some wind is going to blow so hard that it's going to move our home or do something to our home or hurt us, or water is going to come up so high that, you know, we're going to be in danger and we're not going to have access to food or clean water and all of that, because we were hearing these crazy reports that a case of water was $100 and gas was like $25 a gallon, and I don't know how much any of that is true. Sometimes, you know, you read stuff and you say, wow, how could anyone do that to people who are already in need? But, you know, just keep in mind that, you know, there's so many different ways and things we can pray for them, even if it is just food and water and being able to go back to their homes. It's just such unbelievable stories that we're hearing. So I just can't help myself to say that almost at every show, but it's so alive in our minds right now. But today's show, we are on Relationship Wednesday, and I couldn't even say that, relationships. And I've been talking a lot about love in relationships and how it affects us, because that seems to be the hotbed of where all the stuff we've learned in life, whether it's injured us or propelled us, comes out. That's where it shows up. In most other places, we don't get so close to people, that close, that intimate, that we know who they are at that level. Because you can't be in a relationship with anybody and not know them intimately once you are involved with them. And that intimate part is the part that will either keep you there or not keep you there. How you are dealt with in love, how you are dealt with when you need that person, when you're having a hard time, when you're struggling, when you have questions, that's where the love kicks in, because that's the part that no one can explain. The man or the woman can tell everybody whatever they want about the relationship. The other partner could tell everybody what they want or what they say about the relationship. But that intimate part, they usually never talk about it. They forget that intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, if that doesn't exist, there is no relationship to exist. Then you just have two friends or two robots or whatever you have. But emotional intimacy is as important or more important than physical intimacy. I know sometimes when I say that to men initially, they look at me like I just fell from the moon. But in truth, you know, that was something Christ said to me very early on And I didn't understand it at first because I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. That's illogical. But he said to me that sex is not physical. And I've even run that by some men. I remember I get my first interview early on was with a man named Baptiste Lepepe. And he is from Amsterdam, and he ended up doing the movie about, you know, about the pure heart. And he came, I met him twice when he came by, and when I told him that, he said, how is that possible? And I said, if you're not connected emotionally, sex does not matter. Sex is a natural thing that happens between people, but if it were just physical, you wouldn't care who you were with. You just need to do it and it's done. Big deal. But when you are connected to somebody, you care. Otherwise, we wouldn't even discriminate. We wouldn't even wait to see who we were attracted to, people that we would want to marry or, you know, make a part of our lives, create a life with. But if you weren't attracted to them, or you didn't love them, everything else is a really far second. So I grew to understand Christ saying that. And you would find people have been together for a long time. It's their emotionality that keeps them together. It's how they deal with each other on an emotional level. If you aren't connected and that part isn't intimate or special to the two of you, then you don't actually have a connection. You may be there, might be somewhat detached. It might be somewhat broken or fractured and you don't solve things, you don't even care enough to do so. But when you have the passion to fight back, to fight for the relationship, to fight for each other, that's how love will grow in your relationship. When you have the time to polish the diamond that you are, that maybe this part needs polishing and this part needs polishing, but you have the patience to explain to each other, hey, you know what? This doesn't work this way. This works that way. If one of the partner resists or lies, or doesn't tell the truth, or hides things, all that stuff starts coming out because it's impossible to hide at that level of intimacy. So then you have to say, but why do you lie? Well, are you accusing me of anything? No, but what just happened isn't true. Why did you feel like you couldn't tell the truth? They'll tell you. And then you can say, well, if you feel vulnerable in that area, let's work on it. It's not about the lie, ever. It's about why you lied. Because when we feel like we have to do that, what happens? We're fearing something between us. But love looks like that in a relationship. Love behaves and interacts. It's like a third person walking and talking between you. It's something you both know that only you two can understand. We all know what doesn't work. We get that. But what keeps us together on a daily basis and keeps us thriving in that growth? And truly, the things that Christ said very early on are the backbones of any relationship we have, let alone one of a person we chose to bring into our lives, into our existing families, and creating families with, even if it's just the two of us and we decided not to have children, or however it works out. But it's truth and love and purity. Over and over again, those three things that triangle, that, like Christ would say, that it's the triangle is the strongest way to keep anything intact. But those three things, truth, love, and purity, when those are alive, your relationship is alive. When you can share at that level, when you can be honest to that level, when you can talk about your dreams and feel like it's possible with this person, love has a chance to deepen. Because Christ said it's not like we're learning anything new, but what's happening to us is we learn everything deeper. Every single time we learn yet another layer of love, another layer of truth, we start to understand what purity means. Purity in itself was the hardest one for me to get, because I thought, well, what's purity? Yeah, you have pure intent. But it's the innocence. The innocence of looking at that person and thinking to yourself, I really want the best for them. I will be my best with them. And you find out over time that your best is just who you are. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be conscious of the fact that truth is exchanged between the two of you, that love is exchanged between the two of you, that innocence of knowing and growing and that awe of having spent so many years together or knowing each other or how you met, how you took care of children, how you had animals, how you moved from this house to that house, how you supported each other when you switched jobs, how we deal in a crisis. It just deepens and deepens and deepens. When I was writing Origins of Truth, I had a very challenging time, obviously, in, you know, just being married to someone who was ill, having all these children to raise, and knowing that I'm going to influence these kids, and then realizing that even though I'm not going to have them forever, they came to me in that time. And I remember so many clear moments with Sterling about this, when we knew that we were together just for that time, that this is a job we had to do, and we did it. And we told each other, because the love was so deep and so warm and so, I want to say, just open to anything, even knowing that in the depth of the illness. And he said, I came here to put this together, and you kept my family together while that happened. The bond that we have will never and can never be broken. We can't even explain it to each other. But we were so conscious of each other, we were so emotionally connected, that we could even say that to each other. While he was sick, because we never had a chance to create a marriage, we were together 4 months and boom, he was in a hospital and I had 6 kids. To take care of. And we saw the writing on the wall. We knew exactly what was happening. It made us completely not scared of the illness. That emotional connection we had, and as weird as it might sound, the illness was secondary to the writing and to putting the book together. And we knew that he had to get sick to sit there and not to move and not to leave to a job every day where he would get to this every night for a couple of hours. For 4 years, he worked on Origins of Truth all day long, going through and going through. He typed the entire book into the computer once he edited it. Because we both were so connected. The love was so strong. The innocence, the will was just no way to break into it. No one could break into it. And it taught me more about love in that time than I've ever learned in my lifetime. We are so capable of reaching that deeply that it made me not think of big events like illness or anything that happens to us, to our bodies, as something that takes away from us. I know it's going to sound weird to say, but sometimes when I hear somebody got something, I feel good for them because I know what they're going to learn. I know what they're going to feel. I know they're going to heal. Sometimes that's what we need. And then when they heal, their celebration. And I go to see them. And I want to know, you know, more about them. I like to ask them questions about what they went through because you guys know by now, I have seen it now a million times over. When you go to visit somebody who isn't doing well physically, you're more scared than they are. You leave with love. They've taught us all something about being fearless, about self-acceptance, about understanding the power that they possess. And in relationships, because we go through all of these things, after years, we see so much between each other that the backbone of our relationship is us understanding truth, love, and purity in greater depth every single situation that happens. Never, ever underestimate the power of the emotional connection. Because that's something, you know, my dad used to say this thing over and over again, and I used to, like, get tired of hearing it. But he would say, not anyone can have a relationship. And he'd say, anyone can have sex. Anyone. But not anyone can have a relationship. And as I grew into understanding that more and more and more as time went on. There isn't something that can fill in that blank for us. It isn't something we can fake. It isn't something we can buy. It isn't something we can do. It is a feeling that grows into an action, that grows into a partnership, that grows into a hotbed of growth, and that keeps the two people thriving. Even the quietest of couples who look like, you think, what do they talk about? They have a lot to talk about. They have found a way to coexist with another person and continue to love them in peace. Even in an argument, there is a way of dealing with things where things I don't have to be drawn out and pushed down and the person has to be good or bad or, you know, all these crazy ways that people describe each other. Well, he did this and she did that. And when you start talking to people like that about your partner, you have already separated yourself from your partner. Think about that. When we complain about each other to others, we are breaching. That complaining should be in the form of a conversation with your partner. That is one way of harnessing and growing love between the two of you in a relationship. When you have a problem, go to the person that you have the problem with. Going around and getting other people's opinions as you go along, that's not going to help you very much. And the reason it's not going to help you very much is because that person can't solve the issue for you. being gentle, coming to the person gentle, coming to the person with warmth. Even if they did something so outrageous, you have to say, wow, you just did something so outrageous. Instead of, well, you wouldn't believe what she did now. Because now you're piling these things up and you're not giving the other person a chance to respond. And it's an ambush, and the other person will not feel safe, and that will not grow truth or love or purity. It takes a lot of strength in life to be kind. It takes a lot of strength in life to find pure love over injured love. People cannot give you what they don't have. In today's show, normally I'm all wired up, and today's show, as I'm talking, I feel more and more and more calm. It's crazy how it feels just to talk about solving things, about just giving another person a chance instead of, well, he always does that, or she always does that, because then the person gets pigeonholed. And they can't get out of it. No matter what they try to say, you only see that. So then they stop saying things. Then they stop communicating. They don't want to feel stupid. They want to know you care. If they think you don't, then now they're not telling you anything. They go into a protective state. And you may get mad at them for going into a protective state. But when there's love in the relationship, you have to say, wow, what have I done? It made you feel like you had to protect yourself emotionally. Because now that's like saying, I'm not taking care of you. I'm not paying attention to you. I don't understand you. There's many, many ways that that's said. What's amazing is those words, as simple as they sound, can keep a relationship together. We all need something to hold on to. Because if you have nothing to hold on to, you no longer have a relationship. If you don't have physical intimacy for a long time, you start to wonder, unless you both are agreeing to that, you start to wonder something's wrong. Then you start to feel a little insecure. Then you start to notice that, oh, well, look, this person's got so much energy in this situation. Why not here? What has changed? Are we not connected that way? Sometimes with the emotional things, if one stops telling the other anything, you start feeling disconnected. You don't know what's going on in their days. Answers are evasive. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't care. I don't this. I don't that. Well, I don't know what else to say. So now you're not connected. Then you start living slowly different lives. Oh, I'm busy with work. I'm busy with shopping. I'm busy with this. I'm busy with the kids. And they're all this busy. But you both don't have time for each other. And then the kids leave and go to college, and there you guys are. You both don't know who the other one is. Not that you don't love each other. You just don't know each other anymore. You don't know who the other person is because you don't even know what they do every day. And you live with them. You make it on a shoestring emotionally. You make it on a shoestring physically. But when love and truth and purity are not growing in depth, your relationship is not thriving. When your relationship doesn't thrive, you don't know how to approach the other person openly, purely, without accusation or without dismissal. And those two things will put a wedge between you. It all goes back to energy exchanging between two people. When the energy exchange stops, everything else just got the breaks. One of the biggest questions you can ask yourself about any relationship you're in. It's like a phone call. If you don't call, no one answers. You forget over time. You stop calling. And then it's gone. Awareness is how love grows in relationships. Just being aware. The most important thing Christ said was in relationships is compassion. That's the number one thing. Just simple, flat-out compassion. Because if you're in a relationship, the assumption is that you do have enough love to be in one. You have enough emotional connection to have started a relationship. You have enough physical connection to have started that relationship. But having compassion for the other person will make or break your relationship. Not just lip service. I understand you're in pain, but, you know, get over it. That's not going to happen. That's not going to work. But, wow, I'm so sorry I did that. And that hurt you. I had no idea how it would have affected you. I will never do that again to us. That you can take. I acknowledged your pain, and I acknowledged that I hurt you. I apologized. What are you still upset about? Well, I still don't know why it happened. And when you apologized to me just to shut me up, not to solve the issue, so I don't have any reason to think this will not happen again. Well, I can't guarantee anything. Nobody's perfect. When you find Mr. Perfect, let me know. Okay, well, I don't want anyone that's perfect, but, you know, you doing what you just did, that's not going to help us at all. That's putting a wedge between us. Well, we'll just have to try better in the future. Now, let's forget it so we can go on. And then you come back later and you say, you know what, I'm trying to forget it. I need to revisit this because something's wrong. Well, we already talked about that. Would you quit bringing up the past? Well, that was only a week ago. We need some time to talk about this. There's a reason why this continuously happens in our relationship, and if it continues to happen, how are we going to continue? Well, that's up to you. Make a decision now. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? Well, wow, you're willing for me to stay or go? Like, go where? Like, go away from us? What does that mean? Well, you know, make a decision. You know who I am. You know my intentions are good. That didn't matter to me. Well, if it didn't matter to you, I'm kind of concerned because you did it. You keep doing it over and over again, and you keep saying it doesn't matter. But it obviously matters enough for you to do it, and it matters enough for you to hide it. Well, I didn't hide anything. Now you're accusing me. So when you get that and there isn't any compassion, just the person who just acknowledged they did it, said they were sorry for how they hurt you, acknowledging that they don't want to do that again to the relationship, the person fought for the relationship, it was done at the beginning. But the one who lacked compassion took it to a level of a whole nother understanding of, well, you know what, if you don't like this, you know, you have a decision to make. It had nothing to do with the problem. They deflected away from the problem. They put it, dumped it on their partner. Now their partner doesn't feel safe. Tells them to put up or shut up, basically. And the partner's going to go, well, I don't want to break this up. So now they put up and they hold resentment. All because of the lack of compassion. Christ didn't even give me a list. All he wrote was compassion. forget it. I love you guys. I will see you tomorrow for Dream Theme Thursday. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.